Good morning. Thanks for being here. I also want to acknowledge my co-author, Diane Santamaria, who's sitting in the front here. So we're going to focus in today. We're presenting at this conference some of the first results from our community study that we did. It was a part of a count and survey of homeless youth in Houston, Texas. And so my focus today is on the relationships between mental distress, stress, and substance use among the homeless youth in our sample. So we don't have anything to disclose. So just a little bit of background. Substance use among homeless youth is a problem. They're more likely to use substances than peers their age that are housed, and they use them at younger ages. And as I think Stephanie mentioned, that their victimization is really associated both prior to becoming homeless. Youth are more likely to be victimized, and then once they're on the streets as well, there's high rates of victimization. And in terms, and those both contribute to substance use. We know from some prior literature that white youth and male youth are particularly vulnerable to using substances as a, we sort of hypothesize as a coping response to some of the victimization and things that they're experiencing. So mental health and stress, homeless youth experience significant stress and mental distress, and related to the current circumstances of homelessness, it's pretty stressful to be on the streets combined with these experiences of victimization. They have high rates of comorbid mental health conditions. That's true in the general population, true among homeless youth, and that contributes actually if you are you have both mental distress, mental health problems, and substance use contributes to victimization as well. So it's kind of this vicious cycle. And mental health problems have been associated with the use of particular types of substances. And in prior research, depression, the higher levels of depression are associated with use of harder drugs. So there's some indication that there may be some self-medication happening. So our study really was exploring that is substance use as a coping response to stress and also to address symptoms of mental health problems and mental health symptoms. So this is just a quick picture of our current study. So we have a measure of stress, which we hypothesized would be related to increased substance use. We have a measure of mental distress, which sort of approximates serious mental illness as it gets to higher levels. We hypothesized that that would be associated. And then we were interested in the interaction, whether or not there's a multiplicative effect. If you have both of those things, is it just exponentially increased substance use? So those are the aims of our study to explore, just descriptively kind of that, some of those things. So our study, which was called Youth Count 2.0, we conducted it in October and November last year. It was a four-week point in time, so over a number of weeks, but we canvassed all over Houston and Harris County. That's a picture of our city. You can see that homeless youth are pretty concentrated towards the center of the city. But we really tried to canvas all over. The orange areas are areas that were identified as sort of high-risk hot spots that we drove around to. We also, so that was street outreach. We also surveyed youth in shelters and at magnet events. And magnet events were both homeless or homeless youth-specific events like hot meals or drop-in center. As well as some events that were targeted to youth generally, like a breakdance night where we tried to identify youth who were in unstable housing situations among a population, more general youth. And then we also tried respondent-driven sampling. We tried to leverage the power of networks. You can see that didn't work too well. We only got 9 youth that way. But we did try and get youth to recruit other youth as well. In terms of our inclusion criteria, how you define homelessness is always a question. And so for us, what we did was we asked youth where did they stay the previous night, and if they had been in a shelter or on the streets in a situation not intended for human habitation, they were immediately eligible. And if they had been in staying with a friend or an acquaintance or a relative, we asked how long they could stay there. And if it was less than 30 days, we considered them in an unstable housing situation and we included them as well. The age group for our young people was between 13 and 24. And so we have demographic information. Young people told us how old they were. They self-identified their gender. and race, where they can select multiple categories. And then our primary independent variables were measured. Mental distress was measured with the Kessler-6, which has six items asking how often you've felt a series of different things over the past 6 months. It's a sort of heavy on mood, so it asks about, so depressed you couldn't get up, hopeless, worthless. But it, in studies, has approximated serious mental illness as it gets higher on the scale. The scale goes from 0 to 24, and there's a cut point at 13 where that might be problematic. We also assess stress with the perceived stress scale. That's got four items asking how often in the last month you felt, and the items are up there. It's really sort of about feeling in control, feeling like things are piling up, things like that. Substance use was measured with questions from the Monitoring the Future study, and here we're looking at lifetime use and use in the past month is what we're calling current use. We had a lot of different variables, and for this analysis, we really wanted to look at kind of the most frequent, and we combined some of them. So cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, and synthetic marijuana. Cigarettes, we only have a current measure. Are you a smoker? Other ones, we have a lifetime and a current, past month. And then we combined heroin, PCP, cocaine, crack, and meth into a category we called hard drugs. And then we have something we called club drugs, that's a loose term, for a lot of other different things, opiates, inhalants, hallucinogens, ecstasy, cough syrup, bath salts. So there's a lot of things thrown in there. So for analyses, we did bivariate comparisons, looking at each of our dependent variables, and then we tested for interaction terms between the mental distress and the stress. And then we tested them in logistic regression models where we controlled for race, gender, and age. So our sample, young people in our city are overwhelmingly African American, our homeless population. 54% identify as African American, and then 15% is multiracial, and some of those also include young people who are African American and another race as well. And then smaller percentages, white, Hispanic. 56% are male, 25% identified as LGBTQ. You can see that they're primarily older, 87% are 18 to 24. And then in terms of the breakdown with where they were living, half of them had stayed the previous night in a shelter, about a third on the streets, and then we have 17% that were in that kind of doubled up unstable situations. Foster care history, a little higher than the presentation earlier, that 41% identified any foster care history, and about half of those, like 22%, had aged out of foster care. And then another third identified as being in juvenile probation at some point. And about 25% were pregnant currently or parents. A lot of those did not have their children with them, but.
Is that female, women, or?
That's of all the youth. Mm-hmm. So in terms of mental distress and stress, just to show you the correlation, we hypothesized that those things would be correlated with each other, and they are, but not so strongly correlated that we're concerned that they're measuring the same thing. So we've got aspects of the same thing, but different. And in terms of the sort of cut points on each of those where we're identifying problematic behaviors, 42% of the sample identified as in the moderate or high range of stress, and 48% identified as over the cut point for mental distress. And you can think about that in the National Survey of Drug Use and Health, which uses the same measure. About 8% of young people in the general population meet that criteria. So this is a pretty high-risk group in terms of the symptoms. And here's some substance use frequencies. There's a lot on this slide. I'll just highlight. In terms of, I just looked up in comparison to the 12th graders in the Monitoring the Future study. Alcohol and current alcohol use are actually pretty similar to young people in their senior year in high school. But what's a lot higher are marijuana, synthetic marijuana, which is pretty big in Houston right now, where we have a third of young people who've done that and 18% in the past month. And then cocaine also, lifetime use pretty high. So those getting into the more extreme or more illicit kind of drugs, these young people use those at higher rates than young people in the general population. population. So just taking a look at some of our bivariate relationships, these are odds ratios. I'll just draw your attention to the things that are significant. So stress pretty consistently predicts our higher frequency things. Hard drugs and club drugs, sort of surprisingly to us, stress and mental distress were not related to those bivariate or multivariate levels. So not gonna talk a whole lot more about those. Where we did see stress, you can think about alcohol, marijuana, even synthetic marijuana as a way to manage stress, and potentially mental distress, particularly synthetic marijuana was related to that in terms of mental distress. When we put them all into the model and control for these other variables, some of those relationships changed or went away. So for cigarettes and alcohol use, when you control for things like age and gender, we had both measures in there, neither one of them was a significant predictor. But cigarettes switched to where stress is a significant predictor. When you've got other things in the model. And you can note that females are less likely to smoke, and you'll see on the next slide, females are less likely to do a lot of the different drugs. And then age here is related in terms of older age, which is kind of makes sense that you have higher exposure to some of these things. In terms of marijuana and Kush, which is our what they call synthetic marijuana where we are, the one place where there was an interaction term, well, I'll first talk about, so current use, which is probably the strongest because we have a past 30-day measure for both our stress, distress, and the substance use. You can see that mental distress, they have any symptoms, is not turning out to be significant. It's stress that's really the primary predictor. In terms of lifetime use, that's the one variable where the mental distress was predictive. And it's hard to know the direction of that relationship. It could be that using Kush actually increases symptoms, or it's bidirectional. We also saw an interaction between stress and mental distress for lifetime marijuana use. And basically what that looked like was that mental distress didn't matter until very high levels, and when combined with stress and really high levels of mental health symptoms, that's where we saw that increase. So conclusions. I think the real big take-home point for us is, clearly substance use is a problem, particularly the use of synthetic marijuana. That's something that we heard about, we saw when we were on the streets, but the data definitely supports that that's sort of an area of concern for young people in Houston right now. And that stress seems to be the take-home target for interventions to reduce some of these high prevalence substance use. Things like marijuana use, smoking, current use of Kush were all related to stress. And you could see those indicators. What stress measured was sort of a cognitive construct. So I think it's kind of a right target for intervention in relation to some cognitive behavioral interventions, mindfulness-based stress reduction. So actually incorporating stress reduction interventions into generally among homeless youth, in particular to reduce substance use, seems indicated. The two didn't interact in most cases, so I think just targeting stress is probably okay without really having a lot of concern around mental health symptoms in addition or how that might affect that. And then we didn't see the relationships in terms of the harder drug use, so I think we'll continue to do some analysis by specific drugs and get into that a little bit more in depth, but we weren't seeing any kind of self-medication in relation to this with those harder drugs. We did see that gender, even when controlling for gender, stress was indicated. So sometimes there are findings that stress is related to gender and that females tend to be at higher stress levels. But even considering that, I think we may want to think specifically about targeting males in relation to stress reduction interventions to reduce substance use. They seem to be a particularly high-risk population. And so we have a lot of work to do in terms of further exploration, including trauma histories in relation to some of these things, and going more in depth in terms of the different types of substances. And that's it. Thank you.